Our text this evening is John 15, verses 12 through 15. The title of this, Ye Are My Friends, the Lord makes this statement to His disciples. This is their fourth message in this particular chapter. We find in verse 12 through 15, He said, This is My commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Hence, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight, Lord, for your blessings to be upon the reading of Scripture. And Father, we pray again tonight that as we come here to this text, Lord, we pray for thy guidance and thy help. We pray for the teaching by the Holy Spirit here tonight, which in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. And you may be seated. The last 3 weeks in this particular chapter, we've been looking at the true vine in contrast to the false vine, the true branches in contrast to the false branches. And we looked last week at the subject in verses 9 through 11, the fullness of joy. You notice this evening as we come here, we find that in the verses that we've just read, we find the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples. We know that friendship is a unique and special thing. Our friends are dear to us and important to us. And the word friend in the Scripture speaks of closeness and companionship, the one that we have things in common with. And there's various circles of friends. We have business friends, social friends, and then we have intimate friends, those that are very close to us. And we know that we can tell a lot about a person by their friends and their enemies. Think about that. Yeah, by the people that they want to hang around with and by the people that they don't want to hang around with, or the people that don't like us, those kind of things. So we can tell a lot. We live in a time today with social media. I think I heard this a year or two ago. Someone was talking about having 450 friends. Those are virtual friends, you know, on Facebook and things of that nature. And I know of one pastor that, is it called unfriend or defriend when it comes to, is it defriend? No, unfriend? Okay, one pastor, when he actually, I guess he had a Facebook and he got to looking at his members and he unfriended several of them because of the things that he saw on there. But we're talking about true friendship here and companionship as we come to our text here this evening. Now notice, let me just read verse 12. And we keep coming, and I don't want to just overlook this because we will see it again in verse 17 and other verses, but we keep coming back to the thought of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about commandments and loving one another. We saw this in chapter 13. We saw this in chapter 14. And you'll notice, we actually looked at it last week in verse 9 and verse 10 and then in verse 11. But here in verse 12, he said, This is my commandment. Again, we're finding this all the way through this upper room. We find it all through the Scripture as far as that is concerned. But this commandment here, obviously, speaking of the second table, to the moral law, our duties, and relating to our neighbors, to one another. And he says, verse 12, This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Again, we've made comments on that chapter 13, chapter 14, and then last week as well. We find that in Romans chapter 13 and verse 10 that love worketh no ill to its neighbor. And we also find, as we're going to see in our text here tonight, that in John chapter 10 and verse 11, the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that's we find that concept here in the subject of friendship. And so he says in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. And then he is the example. He said, as I have loved you. And I want you to think about this. He is the example. We've seen that in chapter 13 and verse 34. And we know that Judas is the opposite of this. Judas is the betrayer. We find he's the betrayer of friends and friendship, as with the Lord and the disciples. We find that in chapter 13, verse 2, verse 11, and verse 18. Just in that one chapter. But we find here that as we, and I'm not turning to chapter 18, but as you move into chapter 18 and 19, which is not a part of the upper room, we find that this very night, as Jesus speaks these words from chapter 13 through 17, this very night, he proves his love to his disciples by going to trial and going to the cross, but also Judas proved himself as a betrayer and not a friend because he brings the soldiers and the folks into the garden there where Christ is praying. Now notice with me as we come into verse 13, and each one of these verses deals with friends and friendship. Let me read them all three together, and then I'm going to just comment on each one of them as we move through it. He said in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now notice in verse 13, we see in this verse the love in friendship. We see here the love in friendship, a self-sacrifice. And there's no higher expression of love that can be given, for life is our most valuable possession. There's nothing any higher than life that can be given. And this is what the Lord did. He gave his life for his friends and, of course, for his church. Now, there's many passages in the Bible that speak of this, and I'm going to give you just a few. If you'll turn with me to 1 John, we'll read in 1 John chapter 3 and also in 1 John chapter 4. Now, as far as other verses, Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 2, again, we see Christ's love. We see his sacrifice. And he says, as also Christ also hath loved us and given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. We'll see this again, if you're taking notes, in Romans 5, verse 6 through 8. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And we see it again in 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, and one more would be Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, love covereth a multitude of sins. So we see this, the issue of the love of friendship, the self-sacrifice, and again, keep this in mind, that this is the very night that he would give himself for his friends. So we learn that true love, what true love is and true friendship is from the Lord Jesus Christ. Love is much more than a fuzzy emotion or whatever. It has to do with a sacrificial love. Think about this. John 3:16, God gave his son. And as we read through the New Testament, we find that his son gave his life. And so that is true love. God loved the church. And so he was willing to give his son. His son loved the church, and he did the same. We read in Proverbs 18:24 that a friend sticketh closer than a brother. So we see this issue of true friendship. Now, when we think about in the verses that we're going to read, well, let me just go ahead and read in chapter 3. In chapter 3 of 1 John, I'm beginning in verse 16, he said, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." We see again, verse 16, especially that verse, we see here that he laid down his life for us and is asking us that we would have the same mindset. Now notice with me in chapter 4. Be reading in chapter 4 beginning in verse 9. Now again, we find the love of friendship. That's my title for verse 13, the love of friendship. It is a self-sacrifice kind of a love. A divine love always involves a sacrifice. Again, as John 3:16. And I'm sure that you know some examples in our lives as we've lived our journey of life, or you've either read about them. We can find them in Scripture, of course. But yeah, I've read stories where a man has thrown himself on a grenade for his buddies or his friends or his comrades. We've read stories like that. That is a self-sacrificing love. I read a story about a mother and on a cold night, very cold night, with her child out in the weather. And when they found her the next morning, she was dead and she was naked. She had taken her clothes off, all of her clothes off, and wrapped her child in those clothes, and the child survived through the night. Well, that's what we're talking about here. And there's one other story that I think of, and I don't remember every detail of it, but I'd only been living here 3 years. 1993, how many remember the Amtrak wreck that took place north of Mobile here in the river, and where it plunged into the river? And the story that, there were several stories associated with that, but one of the stories, if I remember it correctly, some of the responders, and this is at least what was put in the paper, is that there was the parents of a 11-year-old girl, and an individual had made the statement that as they were trying to rescue, is that they saw the parents' hands, both parents, they saw their hands push that daughter up to the surface of the water as they were drowning. And they did drown, and she survived that, and still alive, I would imagine, to this day. And so those are some extreme stories, but that's what we find here when we read in John chapter 15 and verse 13 that the Lord said that he would give his life for his friends, and he did. Well, notice here in chapter 4, 1 John, we're reading from verse 9 to verse 12, we find here in this passage, "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Go back with me, please, to the book of John. So we see the display of love in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we come back here to verse 13 again. And this is why I want to take some time in this. I don't want to just rush through it. When I taught through the entire book of John a number of years ago, I probably spent 2 weeks in this chapter. I don't remember exactly, but probably 2 weeks in this chapter. I want to glean a lot more out of it than we did at that time. He says in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, we already see in this text that Jesus is calling them his friends. I preached a message a year, maybe 2 years ago, titled The Friend of God. And I used Abraham as an example, and I want to use him again tonight in a few of these verses. Again, we find that in Proverbs 17:17, that a friend loveth at all times. And in Proverbs 18:24, I gave a moment ago, a friend sticketh closer than a brother. Well, notice now, as we come to verse 14, we see the commitment in friendship. There's a mutual commitment of the Lord and his disciples to one another. He says in verse 14, he said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, he says, you're my friends if there's obedience. In other words, if they believe in him, follow him. And we find that obedience, it's the most prominent mark of those who are called friends to the Lord. When we find, as we look through the scripture, those who are saved, they're followers of the Lord, they're friends of the Lord, we see the issue of obedience. And again, to me, the classic example of this is Abraham, if you would turn to James chapter 2. In the book of James in chapter 2, we were speaking of Abraham recently here in another sermon, but notice in James chapter 2. And let me read the particular verse. The context is dealing with faith and works. And you know that this book is not a contradiction to the book of Romans. He says in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In this chapter, he's dealing with similar things as we see in John chapter 15. He says in verse 14, what doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now we're going to get to Abraham verse 23 in just a moment. But he's dealing with the subject that faith without works is dead. And we find that in verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. He's just showing the emphasis and the importance of faith and works. In other words, fruit. And the Lord Jesus, in the verse we're going to look at next week, is in verse 16, he's going to be talking about fruit again in John chapter 15. And he goes on in verse 20, what wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He said in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, in other words, mature. And he said in verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And notice, and he was called the friend of God. Now, one of the reasons he was called the friend of God is that he was a faithful follower of God. And we see, when we look in Abraham's life, he was saved by faith and faith alone. But we also see that he was justified by works. And we see that the works in his life, the obedience in his life, proved that he truly was a child of God. He walked with God. And he's called a friend of God three times here in James 2:23, also in Isaiah 41 in verse 8. And he's called a friend of God in 2 Chronicles 25 verse 7. And think about Abraham's life. He was a follower of God. He was obedient to God. Doesn't mean he was without fault, but we find that he forsook all to follow the Lord. We find when we read that the Lord came to him, he forsook relatives. Now, that doesn't mean you have to pick up and move, 10,000 miles to be a servant of God. But this is what God asked him to do. And he forsook family and country and culture, business, the comforts of his home. He's a wealthy man. He forsook all of those things. And when we read through the book of Hebrews, a large part of chapter 11 is dealing with Abraham, verses 8 through at least verse 19. There's a large section there. And then from Genesis 12 to Genesis chapter 22, we find the faith and the life and the obedience of Abraham. And it kind of comes to a peak in Genesis chapter 22 when he offers Isaac his son. So we find that he walked with God, and Abraham was an altar builder. That means he was a worshiper of God. You read from Genesis 12 to Genesis 22, and we find continuously that he's meeting with the Lord. In Matthew 22:32, it says, I am the God of Abraham. And then in Galatians 3:26 through 29, and Romans 4:16, Abraham is our father. In other words, we are the children of Abraham by faith. Well, notice back with me now as we come back to John chapter 15, reading verse 14 again. And he says here in verse 14, he said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, we're going to see next week the confirmation that the Lord gives to his disciples. There's four things in verse 16. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And then he says, and ordained you. And then he says, and that you might bring forth fruit. And then he tells them that whatsoever they ask, as we read in chapter 14, whatsoever they ask in his name, that they would receive. Now, these disciples, you've heard me say this as we've started this series, these disciples are going to be told in verse 18 through about verse 21 that the world would hate them. They're also told by the Lord in chapter 16, in the first four verses, that there'd be those that would put them out of the synagogue, and they would think that if they kill them, they would be doing God a service. These are the things. They're not only facing the crucifixion of their Savior, they're also going to be facing the fact that the world will hate them and persecute them. And we read through the book of Acts and see that that did take place. And even the writer of this book, he ended up on the Isle of Patmos. Why? Now think about this. When he talks to these disciples, you're my friends. He's given his life for his friends. And he continues. He said, you're more than a servant. He said, you're my friends. Servants don't always get the inside of everything, you know, and all. They don't always know all of the truth. But he said, you're my friends. But you got to understand, God was a friend to us. The Lord Jesus Christ was a friend. He's a friend to us. He gave his life for us. But these disciples were friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even with their flaws, they were friends of the Lord and of his church, because they all pretty much gave their life for him and for his church. So that the friendship was mutual between the Lord and these disciples. Now notice the statement that's said here in verse 15. He said, henceforth I call you not servants. From here on, you know, he's referring to them as friends. Now they still serve him. They serve him out of love and not bondage. A number of times in Scripture, the Lord referred to them as servants, like in chapter 12 and verse 26, in chapter 13 and verse 13. And that was a common title that he addressed them on occasions, but now he refers to them as friends. And he says here in verse 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now that's where the friend fit in. Servants, when we think about servants, thank God for service, but the servants don't always know everything. They don't always know everything. But here, we find the Lord Jesus is saying that he's revealing unto them things that the Father has given him that that he's not given to others. And that's why he's referring to them as close friends. And that's an amazing thing when you think about it. I want you to turn, you can turn loose of this text, and I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. I want to take one or two verses here in the New Testament, and then maybe one in the Old Testament. And notice with me as we come to Matthew chapter 11. Let me pick a reading up in verse 25. Now the Lord did reveal things to his friends, his disciples, that he did not reveal to others. And God will reveal things to his friends today that he'll not reveal to others, as God revealed things to Abraham. We'll turn to Genesis 18 in a moment. God would not keep things hid from Abraham because he was a friend of God. And that's what friends do. Friends tell each other things. They don't tell the world and tell others. We find in chapter 11, notice in verse 25, he says here, at that time, Jesus answered. Now, he's just been speaking of judgment, by the way, from verse 20 down to verse 24. Verse 25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, that reveal them unto babes. The babes here are the 12 in this particular case. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal himself. And there's that invitation, verse 28, 29, and 30. And we use that for salvation invitation, and we can, but it is also to draw those that believe on him closer to him, that they can find true rest for their souls. So that fits for you and I. And we can, yes, we can use it in our witness to others as well. Notice in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, the Lord spoke several parables in this chapter, seven to be exact. And you notice with me as we, and if you're taking notes, you can write another passage that's going to say similar things. And that is in Luke chapter 21 through 24. What's amazing in that chapter, this is the chapter where the Lord has sent out the 70, and they come back and they're rejoicing that they had power over devils, and he tells them to rejoice because their names are written in heaven, and he speaks some similar things that we're going to read here. In chapter 13, in the context of these parables, we find that in verse, beginning in verse 10, it says here, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you. Now think about this, talking about his friends. It's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people, that's usually a reference to ancient Israel, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, that I should heal them. And we have a lot in our society like this today too. Their eyes are closed. Their ears are closed. And then he said this in verse 16 and 17, speaking again to his people, the disciples. He said in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So we find that he brings them into a fellowship of not just servants and disciples, but in a fellowship of friends. He continuously reveals to them intimate things that the Father has revealed unto him. Now notice with me as we will go to Genesis 18 and we will close there. Genesis chapter 18, and notice here. I want you to see that God did not keep things from Abraham in reference to what he was going to do in Sodom. And the Lord and Abraham talked this thing over. They had a long conversation here. And I'll not go through the whole conversation this evening. But notice as we come to verse 16, beginning in verse 16, he says this, and the men rose up. Now these are the three men that came to Abraham, getting ready to leave. The men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Now they're on their way to investigate Sodom. And we know the end of that story. And he says in verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him that he will command his children, his household after him, they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the main thing I want to point out here is this, is that we see that the Lord said, shall I hide, verse 17, from Abraham the thing which I do? And verse 19, he says, and I know him. And that's why that three times in Scripture, in Isaiah and Chronicles and James, that Abraham is called a friend of God. And what is amazing? Now, we know that Abraham had discrepancies. We're not really talking about those tonight. He had some discrepancies, but what we find from Genesis 12 to Genesis chapter 22, several chapters, we find there was a communion between Abraham and God. And there was divine visitations. The Lord visited Abraham on a number of occasions. We find the chapter 12, verse 7. Then we'll see it again in chapter 13, in chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 17, chapter 18, as we're reading right here, chapter 22. And we find that they enjoyed one another's company. They enjoyed speaking to one another. And we find that Abraham experienced the presence of God on many occasions. And so I'm going to leave that with you tonight. The Lord Jesus said, ye are my friends. Now directly, he's speaking to his disciples, 11 at the time in the upper room. But we know, as we look through the Scriptures, that we can be a friend of God, that the Lord Jesus is a friend to us as well here tonight. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank Thee for this evening, Thy Word, and Thy truth. Lord, I pray that we would truly meditate upon this friendship that we have with Thee as our Creator and our Redeemer. And Lord, help us to think about the friendship that we have with others. And Lord, that we'd be obedient to Thy Word. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.